Hello, folks, and welcome to the Overdrive. This is John. Obviously, you probably knew that much, but you probably didn't know. This is actually how I started on social media. The audio only format, that whole deal, actually the channel where Prepper Nation is parked right now, the main channel, started as an audio only podcast where I was just talking about off the wall stuff, whether it be writing, whether it be the 80s, what have you. But either way, no matter how you found this audio podcast, welcome and thank you for checking it out. Who knows, we might get famous one day, son. They might put this on iTunes or something. They used to do that back in the day, but I don't know how they set that up. Today, I want to talk about several things, but mainly, I just want to have a chat about what I hate about YouTube. YouTube is this incredible experience. It's like this beautiful disaster that I never thought in a million years was even possible. I can remember 5 years ago, my son, he was very small at the time, and he was big time into YouTube, like the Ryan's World and that whole stuff. And he was like, I want to be a YouTuber. And I was, you know, I'm like, being a parent, I'm trying to coax him out of that. I'm like, son, you need to focus on school. Nobody's on YouTube for real. They're all, you know, they're all totally different people. And boy, was I in for a rude wake-up call. So what I hate about YouTube, believe it or not, it's not even the censorship. Yeah, I hate censorship, but I've gotten so used to that. I just overlook it at this point. It's not all the knives in the back that I've gotten over the past several years. It's not the trolls. The trolls on YouTube, people will often say, don't feed the trolls. Look, the trolls on YouTube are Sandlot League compared to the trolls in the writing community. I mean, I've had people tell me basically to jump off of a bridge, but in a very graphic way as they were leaving book reviews and things. The thing I really don't like about YouTube is the way that you're typecast. And I meant to get this audio. I've been meaning to do this audio podcast for several weeks. And I talk back and forth. Most of you probably have no idea who I'm talking about, but Pat Contry. Occasionally we have had email conversations back and forth. He's in the retro gaming community and stuff like that. But he launched his audio only podcast earlier this week, and I'm like, wow, I should have jumped on mine a little sooner. But he categorizes this in a very good way. Like he just made it sound like I was trying to say. He just put it into great wording. He said, you know, when people see him on YouTube, they only see part of him. Like, I think the way he described it was, our lives are like a house. And the people who watch you on YouTube, they only see one room of that house. It's almost like you're typecast. I'm not an actor or anything, but actors get typecast. You know what I'm saying? Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme, who I absolutely love as an actor, is only going to play certain roles because people only know him for that, and that's it. And the thing that I really don't like about YouTube is the same type of typecasting. Absolutely love the Prepper Nation crowd, which we're going to get into. But so many people just know me as John from Prepper Nation, you know, and they only know that part about me. And there's so much more that most people are never going to know unless I throw out some goofy audio podcast, right? Which is the whole point of this. So I'm going to try and do this a couple times a week in case you are extremely bored. Again, if this isn't your thing, I don't expect you to sit here and listen to me ramble into a microphone. I don't know that I would do it myself, but it gives me a creative outlet, which we're going to talk about. So some of you may know this if you've been with Prepper Nation for a long time, because I've mentioned it over there, but it's been a year, maybe a year and a half ago. And that is, I deal with severe, severe social anxiety. And this has been this way, I don't even know, since I was in school, you know, maybe middle school, probably late middle school. But back then, They just thought you were weird. I don't know if they had a medical term for it. I don't know if social anxiety was a thing. They tried to diagnose me with OCD, and I'm like, nah, son. I was saying son back in high school. I'm like, nah, son. It's not that I can't learn this. I'm just not interested in what the teacher's throwing out there, this sort of thing. But I digress. Social anxiety is a huge deal in my life, and it's a day-to-day struggle. And it's not something I'm proud of, to be honest with you. For the better part of a year, I actually went offline. This is before PrepperNation turned into a big deal. And what I was doing is I was just talking into a microphone and recording podcasts, audio podcasts. And then once a month, I would get online for 1 hour, folks. I'm looking at the camera like this is a video podcast or something, just so y'all know. But I was getting online for 1 hour. And what I was doing is I was uploading all of the podcasts at one time. Those are actually in the video section still way on back over at Prepper Nation, like some of the really old stuff. They're still over there. And then I would upload any writing that I had to my editors and beta readers, and then I would just disconnect again. And I would not hear from anybody online for almost a month. And I've strongly considered doing this again, just to level with y'all. When I took time off at Christmas to New Year's, that span, it was a span of like 2 weeks, I think, or close to it. I really considered just taking the year off and doing it that way. Maybe getting online once a week, uploading the videos that I'd recorded. But what I came to realize was the live chat over at Prepper Nation was the difference. This is the main reason I did not go offline is because I enjoy the live chat. And it has a lot to do, I think, with the social anxiety. And it's weird because when I meet my wife's friends, my wife works at a school, and I mean, it's a fairly large school. There are a lot of teachers there. And so she has her own groups or cliques or whatever you want to call it. And then we have our, sports parents. We're actively involved. Our kids are in sports like crazy. So when we meet people, we'll often run into them in stores and things. Occasionally they'll recognize me, or maybe they've seen Prepper Nation and they're like, oh, you know, all bubbly. And I'll shake their hand and I'm like, hi, or something. My wife will introduce me, but then I'm crazy quiet. Especially compared to my dear wife. She is a social butterfly. God love her. She carries the conversations when we're out in public, and it just works. But for a long time, especially going back to the middle school up till, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I really thought that there was something wrong with me, to level with you folks, because the social anxiety was so bad. You know, even before Prepper Nation, when my wife would run into somebody she knew, the questions always started to come up. Oh, so this is your husband. Where do you work? This sort of thing. And I was writing full time, but I didn't really want to talk about it. It's weird. Writers are weird in this sense, especially when they have social anxiety, because you don't want to talk about the kind of stuff that you're writing. These are thoughts that are in your head, and you know eventually, if you're lucky, somebody's going to buy this stuff and read it. But it just kind of put me in a corner, and I didn't really want to talk about it. And I wasn't trying to be rude, so I'm trying kind of to play myself up to the conversation, but it's hard to explain unless you have social anxiety. You really don't want to be there in that conversation, not in a rude way, not that this person has done anything wrong. It's more of you feel like you have something wrong with you and you're just trying to get out of there. If you follow Sean Ryan on YouTube, huge channel, excellent guy when it comes to, you know, all things military and tactics, he's talked about his own struggles with social anxiety. And when he did that, I started to realize at that point, okay, it's not just me. It's not, this dude is one bad Billy, if you will. I mean, this dude is tough, but he has social anxiety. And a lot of the things he was describing on his channel connected with me because I dealt with the same exact thing. You know, you're at a party, but you don't want to be there. You just want to be somewhere else by yourself or with your wife. And it doesn't help that I've always been a hyper creative person. Now you know that. Now you know that much about me. It goes way beyond, the writing. It goes way beyond the podcasting and stuff like this. I'm just one of these types of people that I'm alone a lot, you know, usually back here in the back office, and I'm creating things, you know, or I'm trying to figure out how to draw. I can't draw with a crap, but I can see these same things in my son already. I think that, you know, I don't want to peg him as having social anxiety. I'm not a doctor, but I'm starting to see a lot of the same things with him. He's kind of removing himself, you know, himself from certain situations. He's off to himself. He's creating things. He can draw. For those out there keeping score, I cannot. And I think this combined with, you know, the creativity combined with my love for reading led me into the world of writing. So I've been reading since I was a kid. I'm talking fifth grade, sixth grade, because we were poor and books were cheap and books were a way for me. If I got lucky, sometimes I was able to get a comic book or something, but reading was cheap and it was a way to it was a creative outlet, if you will, especially if it was a good book. And I think, this is another reason that I don't, some people ask me this on Prepper Nation. Hey, you're an author and you have a prepping channel. You could probably sell a lot of prepping books. Why aren't you writing prepping books? And I do have one novella out there. I'm not trying to, you know, plug it or anything, but I think the deal is it, for me, it's two separate things. You know, I kind of have the prepping thing over here and I love to prep. I do. I like the idea that I'm able to take care of my family, but I'm much more than just some guy who's stacking ReadyWise over in a corner and trying to figure out how to garden and stuff like this. I have other interests. I've got other things going on. And as many of you know, if you follow me on Prepper Nation, YouTube, the prepping community, it's gloom and doom. You know, it's constant bad news. And I'm like everybody else. I get burnt out on that. And so I don't want to sit down and commit 3 or 6 months or a year writing about gloom and doom because I'm tired of hearing about it, to be honest with you. And so you will see my channel has a different feel. Prepper Nation, I should say our channel, because it would be nothing without the folks over there. But some of you may not be on Prepper Nation is the reason I'm wording it like that. Some people, it just has a different feel. Maybe it rubs some people the wrong way. It's kind of out of the mold of a prepping channel. Most prepping channels, you know, the guys are sitting around, they got bones hanging off their neck. You know, they're out here shaving a stick and stuff. And it's just different for me. I approach it differently because I'm a different person. I'm not trying to imitate anybody else. I'm trying to show people over there, hey, I prep, but I do it in a different way. And I do it because I got, you know, I got caught with my pants down and stuff like this. But now you know about the social anxiety part of it, if you didn't know that already. And I think that this is also the reason camping is my social setting. Camping, my family will tell you camping is up there. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do. So I like to sit down and I like to watch usually older movies, war movies or, you know, action flicks and stuff like this. Sometimes I will listen to music. I love rock music. I love huge super fan of Evanescence. But since I'm talking about Evanescence real quick, not to ramble too much here, but Amy Lee, who is the lead singer of Evanescence, walked away from a huge record contract, and for basically the same reason, she didn't want to be typecast as only singing one type of music, because she's a creative person and she wanted to try different things. She approaches it differently, and I kind of approach my deal differently. But getting back to the camping, that's my social setting because I'm not surrounded by people, you know, and the people that are there with me, by and large, I've known my entire life and I'm very comfortable around them. And they know that I deal with the social anxiety. The problem is it's so hard to organize camping trips in 2023. And thinking about this, it's one of the things I don't like about being an adult. You know, I used to, there was a time in my life when I was younger and I'm sitting around thinking, man, if, you know, if I only had this and this and I had X amount of money and I can't imagine having this, life would be a blast. And now I have all of those things and I can't seem to find the time or schedules don't line up. It's just so hard to organize these camping trips. And people ask all the time on Prepper Nation, hey, when are you and Caveman and Outlaw and the gang going camping again? Again, I'm very active with my wife and kids. They are involved in multiple sports. They've got all kinds of stuff going on. And my wife, you know, she likes to go places. I collect games. She likes to collect vacations and daycations and things. That's just, she likes to get out of town and explore. And I can respect that. Caveman James, he works full time. He's got his own life. He's got his own love interest. He's got his own deal going on. So at that point, we're having to line up my schedule, his schedule. Outlaw Jack, he's a single parent. For those that don't know, he has a small son who's not in school yet. So he's constantly focused on his small son, and it's just extremely hard, you know, to kind of get things to line up. We will do it a couple of times this summer, and then I'll have several times when I'm out with my family camping or glamping, and as I've come to discover. But you know, as far as everybody else that I hang out with them, you know, not necessarily James, because I understand it. Again, he's working and he's got his own thing going on, and I understand it, Jack's case. But my other friends, there's always an excuse, and I'm not saying that they're making up excuses, but the more people you get involved, the harder it is to line up. And I guess that's part of being an adult, but that's the part that sucks. That and taxes. Bills, man. Got bills to pay. I miss being a kid. And looking at it now as I'm sitting here talking into a microphone, I think that maybe that's part of my obsession with the 80s. So you've probably figured that out by now. Over here on the backup channel. Hey, John likes the 1980s, son. He misses the 1980s. But I think part of that is because, you know, I love my family. And some of the greatest times I've ever had with my wife and kids, obviously. Watching my kids get saved and baptized as a parent, it's hard to explain the level of excitement, how proud I am of my kids for that, for choosing to do that. It wasn't even brought up by us, but making that decision. But some of the other greatest times in my life came from the 80s when I was a kid, because y'all know how it is. Most of you know, when you're a kid, parents used to tell me, my mom would tell me, my uncles would tell me, my grandmother would tell me, boy, you don't know how good you got it. We're out here trying to pay bills, trying to make ends meet. You're out here playing tackle football all day. stuff like this, or sitting around playing games. And I just miss it. I miss it. It seemed like when I was a kid, getting the gang together and going to do something all day, there was no hassle. Schedules automatically lined up because we're all kids. And so I do miss that part a lot. And talking about the 80s and childhood for a second, you know, I collect retro video games. Now, I haven't really spent a ton of money on retro games over the past year and a half or so because I didn't know where the world was headed and the prepper in me just wouldn't do it. I've traded around, swapped around and stuff like this, but I haven't spent a whole lot of money on it. But I can remember being a kid and not being able to afford video games. We just didn't have a lot of money. And I can remember looking through, do y'all remember the old Sears catalogs back before the internet and all that hoopla? I say that and I'm on the internet now, right? The Sears catalogs used to be my favorite because I would open those bad boys up and I would go straight to the video game section. And it was like window shopping for kids. I knew coming from, at some point you realize you're poor as a kid. I don't know what age I was, but at some point it went from, hey, why does Santa Claus keep shafting me, son, to, oh, we're poor. And my parents are doing this. My mom's doing the best she can, but, this $300 game system, that's probably out of the question. So when I started working and I was paying my own bills, I just started chasing down retro games that I couldn't afford as a kid. And I amassed a ton of these things. And James had a ton of these things as well. And we were talking one day and we said, hey man, let's open up a game store. And we actually had a game store for, I don't know, the better part of 3 years, I want to say. Could be wrong. If he's out there, he can correct me. But I think it was around 3 years, it seems like, called Godfather Games in Mount Airy, North Carolina. And it was a blast. Some of the greatest times of my life came from just sitting there talking to James and just hustling games. But so much happened as a kid that still affects me today. And that's just one of the things. I'm obsessed with World War II. Many of you know this. I'm always rambling about World War II over on Prepper Nation. But let me tell you how I became obsessed with that as a kid. So the older comic books back in the 80s, there was this two-page spread. It was an advertisement for I think it was a World War II playset or something like that. It came with whatever it was, 400 pieces. I don't know. The ads are probably still floating around out there, but I never got one of these things. It supposedly came in like a Foot Locker or something. But I can remember that got me into World War II books, fiction at first, and then I started reading about nonfiction. And then, my wife went to college before I did because I thought, hey, I'm too old. It's too late for me, son. I'm in my 30s at this point. Ain't nobody trying to go back to college. And my wife got her degree and then she helped me get that process going. And she was like, what are you going to study and become? And I knew going into college, or I thought I knew, I want to be a park ranger because I love to be outside. You can use a history degree for those that don't know. With certain stipulations, you can become a park ranger. So I say I want to do this, or wildlife ranger. Some people may call it that, but I knew at that point, history degree. My reasoning was if I take anything else, I may quit. I may get fed up and quit. So I didn't go after really what I would consider to be a in-demand job. And about halfway through college, some of my professors started to reach out and said, hey, once you get done, you might apply to become, an online adjunct or whatever it's called, history professor. Or maybe, you have a community college nearby and you can substitute this sort of thing because you really have a knack for the history and all this. And it's crazy because that started from an advertisement in a comic book. That, I just never got around to ordering and I became obsessed with this thing. This is how my mind works. See, I mean, you can tell even in this audio podcast, my mind is all over the place. And this is me every single day, folks, without fail. From the time I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, usually, sometimes my wife will let me sleep in while she takes a shower. Then she comes and throws something at me and says, you got to get up. You got to set your lobby up and all this stuff. But, normally 6 in the morning and I'm back in bed at 1, sometimes 1:30. So I don't get a lot of sleep and my mind is racing. That's one of the reasons why I'm trying to figure out what Soros has got planned for us. I'm thinking about World War II. My mind's bouncing around to what Nintendo games am I going to pick up next? This, that, and the other. This is daily life for me. And when we have live streams over at Prepper Nation, these things are literally thrown together with bubblegum with minutes to spare, like in the 11th and a half hour. I will set the lobby up and then I'm all over the place. I'm checking cables. I'm trying to figure out, is this plugged in right? Is this plugged in right? Where's my coffee cup? Which coffee cup am I using? It's just constant. My mind is racing. And I absolutely love the community here, but also at Prepper Nation, because that's where it all started, right? Online for me. But I hate being primitive with technology. I really do. I mean, I hate being primitive with it, but I've come to understand it. So I used to be enamored with technology. I used to love it. And when they phased Windows 98 out, does anybody out there remember Windows 98? That's pretty much where I'm stuck technology-wise. After Windows 98, I don't really know a whole lot about what's going on online, and I don't really care to know a whole lot, because I think after Windows 98, it started getting out of control. I mean, everything is just so advanced now, and I'm not naive. I understand it's going to continue to get more and more advanced, especially as they're pushing the digital reset and the AI and stuff. And the more advanced it gets, the less interest I have in it. I'm looking at this screen right now, this video screen that says The Overdrive on it. And I just to give y'all a heads up, I almost went with the loading screen from Web TV rather than this car driving down the road. Because Web TV, anybody remember that loading screen where you're driving into the city? That's pretty much the time when I was like, yeah, I don't know about all this technology stuff. It's cool, but again, I would rather be out in the woods, or I would rather be hanging out with family. I would rather be doing a lot of other things. And, so I just wanted to level with y'all. I probably would not be online right now if it wasn't for the awesome folks in the live chat. I wish I could go live every single day. Schedule will not allow it. So I go live when I can. But I always try to have that live chat queued up, even if I'm on my phone, because with the social anxiety, man, sometimes that's really the only interaction I have outside of my own family. Not to sound cheesy, okay? I'm going to go ahead and say it, but not in a cheesy way. Please don't take it as such. Many of you are like family to me. I realize that they're just screen names and they're people behind screens somewhere. And I realize I've never met most of you. Some of you I've had the pleasure of meeting, but I haven't met most of you. But just by you being there in the mornings, and you all seem to have your certain mannerisms. And I don't want to throw a bunch of names out here, but you know who your shady characters in chat are. You know the ones that are going to take it to the gutter very fast if you let them. You know the ones that are always going to take the high road. You know the ones that are throwing the bird. Those mannerisms, I'm so used to that. And folks, I really, really wish that I could just take 10 minutes and each and every person listening to this, we could just sit down and talk for 10 minutes. I wish people out there knew me, the entire me, not just, hey, that's John from Prepper Nation. And I love running into people in public and they'll stop. Sometimes they don't know my name and I don't get offended. They're like, you're that dude from YouTube. I had a lady one time say, you're that beaver guy. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Most people call me John, but I can go with the beaver guy. I wish I had time to meet each and every person. So you folks would know what I was all about. But yeah. That's what I love about YouTube, and that's also what I hate about YouTube, is I realize that some of us are never going to have a chance to meet in person. And so let me just apologize for that in advance. Anyway, now you know more about me. If you made it all the way through this audio podcast, at least, now maybe you know a little bit more about me than you did before. I don't know. Again, I'm going to try and do this a couple of times a week. I almost called this audio podcast Tales from the Crib, and I was going to keep people updated on what's going on here. I'm going to splash a little bit of that in from time to time, but I ain't trying to bore anybody. I don't want it to be any worse of a ride than the Overdrive has been in its maiden voyage here, son. Anyway, God bless each and every one of you. And until next time, this is John.